Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live. We are back. Welcome to BFF Sports. I'm your host, Dre. And I got my two brothers here, my brothers from another mother, Mad Mike and Phil. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been an interesting week, man. It's been an interesting week. I know y'all been kicking it into the streets. And I know I've been waking up. Every time I wake up, it seems like it's been another trade and somebody's getting sent somewhere, somebody's getting released, you know, free agent signings. You know, it's not even June yet. It's not even training camp yet. So,
no.
I mean, where should we start? I mean, should we start with the big one, Sherman going to the 49ers? Should we start with that one?
No, I mean, I like to talk about getting on a little Shanda Doofy, so that's pretty cool. That's good on me.
I mean, that was a good trade, but I don't think that was the biggest one for me. I don't think that was the biggest takeaway in signing for me.
Well, I don't think it was a big signing. I guess it's big as far as, you know, the name and, you know, the storyline, the fact that, you know, he was a Seahawk and now he's playing for a rival, you know, seeing them twice a year. So, you know, ESPN is all about their storylines. They're all about the hype.
Yeah.
And considering the fact that he's coming off two major injuries, are we going to see the pre-Sherman or, you know, it's going to be, because I mean, you know, when you have an injury like that, your Achilles or your, you know, anything like a lower extremity, you know, it's very hard to come back from, especially being a cornerback, because you need your lower legs. So, like, look what happened to Darrell Reeves when he had the ACL. He was having the same. So do you think he could ever return to form, or, you know, is he going to, like, be a shell of himself?
Me personally, I'm not so much as worrying about what can he perform. I think he'll be ready. But I think, mm-hmm. if we're talking about Sherman here, I don't know how he's going to play, being that now he's not in front, or excuse me, behind a great front seven. I want to see what he does on the back end without a great front seven. That's mm-hmm. what we haven't seen. So this is the story with me, with him, and this is the only story for me. How well do you perform? Are you as good as you say you are? A front seven like you've had. So we're gonna see if he's gonna be exposed this coming season. We're gonna see if he can hang. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Not saying he can't. I just want to see it for myself, because like I said, this would be his first time without a great front seven. So I just want to see.
What do you
think,
Mike?
Not only that. For me, Richard Sherman has always been a bit overrated. He's been a pretty good corner, but he's always had Cam. He's always had, you know, Earl Thomas in the back. Those are top tier corners. Those are top tier safeties. Okay, Earl Thomas is the best free safety in the game, period. Period, point blank. He's not there. That's like having an Ed Reed missing out off of Baltimore. It's just not the same defense. He cleans up everything. If a corner gets beat, you can believe Earl Thomas is going to be there. So the fact that he is going to San Francisco, and I believe it's the Reed, the guy from LSU. I'm not sure if I think he's still there, but like you said, the front seven, and you don't have another corner as good as a Sherman is. I mean, he's kidding himself if he really expect, you know, to go there and. You know, I think he's just Richard Sherman is a very emotional guy, you know, and I think he's kidding himself if he thinks he's going to go to San Francisco, you know, and just try to go there and beat you know, Russell Wilson, and I mean, let's be honest, man. Russell is he's a pretty damn good quarterback, and Sherman, it's going to be pretty hard to stop them, man. I just don't see what Richard Sherman is thinking, other than just revenge. And he, you know, the thing about him and revenge and other corners like a Deion Sanders that went elsewhere, and we, you know, they pretty much like when Dre, we know that more than anybody. When he went to San Francisco, he came back home, you know, prime time. He picked them up, took it to the house, man.
Right.
That's not Richard Sherman.
I went to that game, and I cried my eyes out. I mean, I was happy, but at the same time, the Falcons were getting ran out the building, and then, you know, his famous words, this is my house. That hurt me to the core, but, you know, I was a Deion fan. So, you know, I kind of felt, you know, this was his just due, because the way he got treated in Atlanta on his way out, you know, I still can't get over the fact, you know, Rankin Smith blessed his soul. But if he was still alive, I probably would have sent him some choice words, you know, for that whole ordeal to let Deion walk. Not only walk away, but walk to a rival.
Walk to a rival. Yeah. That's the thing. Right. He's not Deion, man. And Deion is healthy. We don't know if this man's going to – I mean, he had two Achilles surgeries, right and left. Now, you want to – man, let's be honest, man. San Francisco is not the top team. You got to be smart as a player. This is not a smart move. It's an emotional move, man.
Right.
He's an emotional player. And it was a dumb move if you think – now, if you really think about this, this is a real ignorant move. Because Ruben Falk, I think it's the guy from Alabama. We don't know if he's going to be in the first couple of games, because he's, you know, that domestic violence charge that he hit. So we don't know what San Francisco defense is going to look like. This is an emotional, pure emotional move. And I don't like it. He should have went to a team, you know, I asked you this question earlier today, and we was talking about, you know, Sherman coming to Atlanta. It's like, you know, it would have been a perfect fit because he knows the defense, but, you know, he should have went to a contending team. That's the thing about it.
He said he wanted to go contending, because I read his interview. He said he wanted to go to a contender, and the fact that he is his own agent. So, I mean, he doesn't have somebody in his ear saying, hey, this might not be the best move. You know, he's just like a lawyer in court. You're going to rip yourself, you know, a fool for a client, basically, like a lawyer in court, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when he goes out here, like, I totally agree. I think it was an emotional move. I think the lure of playing the Seahawks twice a year, kind of like, you know, I think that pretty much put him over the top. Honestly, that put him, you know, picked San Francisco. You know, he could have went to Oakland. I mean, Oakland, you know, they're not elite, but they're at least better than San Francisco. He could have went to Oakland.
Right, man. I don't get it. I don't get it other than being emotional moves.
Right. So, but speaking of which, you know, we are going to talk about another Seahawk that got traded, but I do want to ask you and Phil this question. With the fact that all these trades going on, and especially with the Legion of Boom, well, the Legion of Gloom now in my eyes, because they're almost all gone. With the fact that these guys are breaking up, is Seattle's Super Bowl window closed, or they still have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl, or is their window pretty much closed?
Thank you, Phil.
I don't think their window is closed. I would say it's closed this season. It's clearly you're trying to transition into getting a little younger, to getting the right pieces around guys. The whole culture change, it seems like to me. I wouldn't be surprised if Pete Carroll is gone after maybe one or two more seasons. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they shipped Russell Wilson out of there. I mean, it looks like it's a whole different change. Now, for a few years, I don't expect them to compete, especially not this year. Now, if something miraculous happens, and it's just, wow. I've seen stranger things happen. But for this season, no. I don't really see them competing this season for a Super Bowl. Maybe in a few more years, maybe about three or four, give or take. If you're going to rebuild, and yeah, but I mean, I'm not saying that this team can't play spoiler. I think they're still good enough to spoil someone's season if it gets down close to it. So I'm not saying that they'll make the playoffs. I know they're not going to win a Super Bowl, but I still think they'll be competitive enough.
All right. So, but and another thing, speaking of Cam, I know Mike brought his name up. There's a possibility that Cam Chancellor might not even play this season at all because he's still dealing with the neck issue. So there's a possibility he might not even play this season. So the Legion of Boom could be pretty much a memory. Like, you know, like I said, that was probably one of the greatest secondaries I've ever had the pleasure of watching. Those guys knew how to hit. They pick off. You know, they played. You know, they had that. You know, that Seattle defense was vicious, man. I mean, it was.
They were physical.
Oh my God!
Yeah, they were very physical. I mean, in that Super Bowl against Denver, man, they showed out that Super Bowl, man.
Physicality.
I mean, it was just like like they punched they punched Denver in the mouth, and they was never the same after
that.
You know what I'm saying?
You guys know what I like to say. Everybody got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Denver
had a game plan.
Absolutely.
Denver had a game plan, but they got popped in the mouth early, often, and quick. And to me, I say it again, there was nothing but fear in those guys' eyes going against that defense. There was nothing but fear.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was one of the most special things I liked about Seattle, that they were physical. And like you said, it may not be the Legion of Boom anymore. You say gloom. I mean, it is what it is. But it's some things that we still have to see. There's a slight chance Cam still plays. If he does play, you know, that's a plus for them. So, I mean, I'm not just ready to, you know, write Cam off yet. But
right
now, I don't see them as a playoff team right now.
Right.
Just don't see it.
Like I said, especially if they lose Cam. If Cam don't play this year, they're pretty much done. They're not going to make the playoffs. They'll probably be jockeying for a very high draft pick if Cam doesn't play. Because besides Sherman and Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, you know, he was a solid guy, but he was a guy that, you know, he made plays, not with his mouth, he made plays. Like, I still remember that he put on Vernon Davis that one time, man. I almost dropped my drink on that one. That was crazy. I mean, I saw his soul go up to Jesus when he hit him. Like, Cam knew how to hit, like, and I saw what Dan Quinn was doing when he drafted Kunal Neal. He wanted somebody like Cam. Cam's a special player. Like, I mean, the dude is 6'8", pushing 250, but he runs. And, he, you know, he's a linebacker playing safety, basically. You know? Right. But all works for another. Speaking of the Seahawks, we have another trade. Michael Bennett heading over there to the Super Bowl champ. What can I say? The rich get richer, huh?
I guess you can say that. For me, I would say that Philadelphia, I think they're thinking about repeating, obviously. But
they ain't win now mode. They're not. There's no rebuilding with this team. They ain't win now mode.
Right, but at the same time,
to get a guy like that. They're ready to win now. Like, they already tasted, you know, Super Bowl victory. They trying to get another one. You know what happens when you get one? It's just like a chip. You can't eat one. You get a Super Bowl, you want to get another one.
Yeah, exactly right. And I agree. They're in win now mode. This is my least favorite trade, though. This is my least favorite. And not because he didn't go to New England. I could have cared less whether he went there. But for some odd reason, I don't like the fit.
Yeah, I was about
Bennett
to say the same thing.
I don't like the fit. Don't get me wrong. The guy is a monster. He's great. He's going to be great. He'll be great. But I just don't like the fit. It's like, did you have to go there? Did you have to go and get him? I mean, they want to increase their chances of winning the Super Bowl. I can't blame them there. But it's just something I just can't put my finger on, that this is not a fit that will work out very well.
Kind of like the Darrell Reeves in Tampa. When he went to Tampa, I was like, he's not going to fit there because he's more of a man-on-man guy. And Tampa, you know, Tampa plays that Tampa 2 zone. He's not – Darrell Revis is not a zone guy. He's a man-to-man guy. So when you see when he went to New England and, you know, they went man-to-man, he was the guy that we saw with the Jets. So I can understand that, you know, some players just don't fit with certain teams.
Yeah, that's the thing that I agree. You know, Michael Bennett is a pretty good player, but at the same time, he's still in his 30s. Okay, let's not pretend like he's not 30-something.
Oh, yeah. The age is a factor.
He's often injured. It's not just the age. He's often injured, and I think they should have and could have, you know, especially with a young quarterback. You know, and Dre, we know this, being with Michael Vick. I was about to say Michael Vick. I don't know why Michael Vick is on my damn mind. But Matt Ryan, you know, Matt Ryan, we have to pay this guy now. This is the reason why we, you know, we're not as aggressive as we normally are, because right now they can go out and have fun and trade for a guy like a Michael Bennett. But at some point, you're going to have to draft another guy because you're going to have to pay these quarterbacks. You got to let someone go. And that's the dilemma that the Falcons are in right now with Tevin Coleman. Someone has to go. We know Jake Matthews is not going anywhere. We know Mac is not going anywhere. Julio, we know those guys are not going anywhere. And that's the thing. I thought they should just keep a pick, you know, because you can find a gym, you know, in the sixth round. You know Phil. You know Bill Belichick. He's good at doing stuff like that. So,
absolutely. I mean, look. You see what they got out of the sixth round, a Super Bowl winning first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. So it's possible.
I'd rather just, you know, hang on to my picks and, you know, give the scouts, do what they do, and pick up a guy like a Grady Jarrett in the freaking sixth round. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. In the sixth round, so it can be done. So, you know, he paying him $6 to $8 million a year, depending on, you know, his incentives and how he plays, how many games he plays. I thought they should just, you know, continue to build around Wentz and the offense. And, you know, because those receivers, they're good, but they're not special. And that's the thing what I did not like. They don't have a special running back. Ajayi is good. And I thought they should just continue to build around the offense, because Wentz, we don't know what Wentz going to be like coming after ACL. We don't know how he's going to work.
Yeah, those are very tricky injuries, man. But I think they'll get a while. It's like I said, this draft class is very deep at almost every position.
Right.
Like wide receivers, quarterbacks, running back. You can pretty much pick what you want. I think that's why the Falcons haven't done anything. Because, like I said, I've been reading, it's so talent rich in this draft class. I mean, you can pretty much, like I said, you can pick somebody in the fifth round, third round, fourth round, whatever, and get talent anywhere. Like I said, I've been looking at this guy, Jeff Holland from Auburn. He's an outside linebacker. He's a beast, and you see what he did when we played him in Auburn. He was just a nightmare. Like, I think he had Fromm got a tattoo of his number somewhere, because that man was all over the place. So, I mean, this draft is very talent rich. So I think the Eagles with this trade, you know, they're getting their defense ready, and I think they're going to go look into the draft and look and see if they got a wide receiver or a running back they can pick up in the draft. And the whole thing with Tevin Coleman, you know, a lot of people might not agree when I say this, but I think, you know, especially with the fact that Matt Ryan's going to get $30 million, it's no question.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that, you know, at this point, when it gets down into the season, as the season goes on, depending on how Freeman comes back from his injury, I think we should look into trading him. Get something for him before he walks, because he's going to want to get paid. And I think this is his last year. I think this is his last year as a Falcon. Yeah. I think either this year or next year. I think we should just go ahead and just trade him and get some value, because I'm pretty sure we're not going to be able to afford him unless they franchise tag him, which I'm not sure they're going to do. But that's what I would do. That would be me. So I know a lot of people are going to be like, you shouldn't do that. But I mean, why not? You know, get some value back.
Right. I mean, that's my thing. You cannot keep two backs at these level of talent. At that level of talent, Freeman and Coleman, those guys are special. They are starting running back. You cannot keep a running back like Tevin Coleman behind Freeman.
Right.
Especially when he hasn't even hired an agent, you know, hired an agent yet. And I'm, you know, I'm thinking he probably will hire an agent, you know, probably end of this year. Probably he's, you know, already in the process of doing so. He's going to want to get paid. Name one running back who doesn't want to get paid. So he's going to want his money. So.
You see what Freeman did. He, you know, even though he wasn't saying, you know, he didn't want to be a distraction during the Super Bowl run, but you see, he got his money. So, you know, if a run, the same thing with DeMarco Murray when he had that good year, that one good year in Dallas, it really overpaid for him. You know what I'm saying? So, and we all agree that, you know, running back is probably the one position in the NFL where their shelf life is not that great. The average running back shelf life in the NFL is like what, 3 or 4 years, because you're getting hit everywhere. You don't last that long as a running back. Because you're going to get hit. You know what I'm saying? So like Ty Gurley, these guys, they're going to want to get their money now while the iron's hot, because you know they're not going to last long. So that's why I said Tevin Coleman is the reason why we hung with Philly. Like, he got us down there.
Right.
Then, you know, but you saw what happened after that. I don't know. You know, I guess they was like, all right, well, we got down here. I mean, keep feeding the man. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's another story. So, but yeah, that's my opinion. I know a lot of people are not going to agree with that. I might get a couple hate mail and some inboxes about what I just said, but whatever. I always go against the grain. I'm not one of these super fans out here that, you know, granted, would I want them on my team? Absolutely. But we all know it's a business, and you got to look out for yourself. So I'm pretty sure if he doesn't get traded, he's going to walk. Because he's going to want elite running back money.
Absolutely.
So, but I feel, I know you said, you know, we were talking about trades. You said, you know, you had one that was bigger. So go ahead and say which one you thought was the biggest trade in your eyes.
The Rams getting Khalid. I think that was the better trade that happened. And you can all say, oh, he's getting a little older. But even though he's getting older, that guy still can guard. He can still run with the best, and he can still defend your best receiver. So I like the fact that he's going to be there. He's going to be a veteran. It's a veteran, another veteran in there, leadership quality, and he's going to be playing. He's going to be playing behind a good front seven. And man, can you imagine? Can you imagine that? The Rams. I personally picked the Rams to have one of the top three defenses next year with this signing.
Oh, I agree. Except if they, like I said, I know Mike's gonna not disagree with this, but then not only you got to leave, you went and got another great quarterback out of Kansas City in Marcus Peters, even though he's a basket case.
Yes.
He's just as good.
Yes.
So you got those two guys. You just signed LaMarcus Joyner, who's an up-and-coming safety. And then you got that front set, even though they traded away Quinn to Miami, you still got the man beast as known as Aaron Donald. So, I mean, when you got Tlaib and Peters and Joyner with, you got, like I said, Aaron playing behind that front seven with Aaron Donald. I'm just saying, man, like, I agree with you, Phil. They're going to have they had a top defense last year. It's going to be even better this upcoming season. Like, way better. Even though they traded away Ogletree, I'm sure they could find a good young linebacker in the draft.
At the end of the day, I'm not going to take away what Ogletree brought to the table. He did this thing, but when you got Aaron Donald, he makes up for a multitude of things. He makes you, as a coach, he makes you just look and just say, hey, well, shit, if a double team is not working, maybe I might consider a triple team. He's one of those guys
that
got to think.
That still don't work.
He's one of those guys that you got to just think. It's just like, what am I going to do? It's not a hit or miss. It's just, what am I going to do? And if he can disrupt like I know he's capable of, then
oh, yeah.
them missing Ogletree won't be as big. It really wouldn't. And
like
I agree with you. They can find another guy in the draft. They can trade a pick.
Yeah.
They can trade a pick for another guy. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I just feel like right now, looking at the Rams on paper, because I always say this, I always look at a team on paper because we have not physically seen them out there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at them on paper, this is probably the most scariest defense you can go against this season coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
One of the most scariest. And what scares me the most is that you pick up Tlaib and Peters. That's something that
right.
I did not see coming.
That's
something
right.
I didn't expect.
Two,
so when you pick
right,
up
two,
those two guys.
Two of the most elite corners. Yeah, two of the most elite corners in the league. So
who,
I'm right with you. I'm right
disrupts.
With you. Go ahead.
Exactly. Who disrupts, can get into your receiver's head, can just do whatever you need them to do on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you put that with Aaron Donald's up front, you're talking
oh
about a
God.
Scary – scary defense.
I'm glad we don't. I'm glad we don't got play this season. I'm glad we don't got play this season.
I'm telling you, this is something. This is going to be a joy to watch. It's going to be a treat to see them.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be.
I think with the fact that with the Seahawks declining and the 49ers and the Cardinals, I think the Rams will probably repeat as division champs. The NFC is theirs to lose, honestly, and consider the fact that their defensive coordinator Wade Phillips is a defensive genius. Who could deal with guys like Tlaib and Peters, who are considered alpha males, who are considered hotheads and basket cases? Aaron Donald's the same way. And you got Wade Phillips there who could deal with these guys, can make them better, make their defense better. Like, I've never seen a Wade Phillips-led defense that sucked, honestly. Like, every time Wade Phillips put his hands on the defense, they've always been top five. Look at Houston, how Houston was. Look at how Denver was. Now you got them in L.A. Yeah, the Rams are going to be nothing to play with this season.
Yeah, but I'm a fan, and you know, I'm a guy who I believe in chemistry. You can't underestimate chemistry. Yes, you know, in Atlanta, we've had a lot of talent on defense. We thought we was gonna, you know, guys were gonna mesh, and you know, Cowboys. I know the Cowboys. They've had a lot of talent, and thought the guys was gonna mesh on defense, and it just doesn't seem to come because you have guys with certain personality. They want to do their thing. Coaches want to do their thing. But, you know, you said something again with Wade Phillips. If Wade Phillips can get these guys to calm down and stop being idiots, because let's be honest, those guys are idiots, especially if he can get those guys calm down and to play for a championship, and they will be a top 15 defense for certain. I can't say top five because, you know, they haven't been together long. So I could definitely see them in top 15, you know, in the past. I think for the passing, you know, this guy, they play aggressive. Both of those guys are aggressive. And you're going to have teams like Atlanta, they're going to use the pass, you know, they're going to use play action to try to get those guys to make, you know, especially Peters. Peters, he jumps on everything. If you have a team that's going to use a lot of play action, they can be beat. Because that's how you beat a aggressive corner. So if he can keep those guys in line, they will definitely be a top 15, top 10 defense for sure. Especially with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald, that guy just a that guy didn't never stop. That guy
didn't
never
stop. Did the Rams pay him his money yet, or are they still BSing about
it? No,
the
and that's what I said. That's why I'm saying chemistry. That's why I'm saying chemistry. Chemistry is everything. If Aaron Donald didn't say, no, I'm mailing this shit in, okay? I'm mailing this shit in. Y'all ain't paid me, but y'all paying Peavy. Y'all done brought in Tlaib. Y'all ain't paying me yet, okay? It's chemistry. You better get his man his money. He don't care about nobody else right now. He want to get paid. So that's why I say I'm a fan of chemistry, because that man want to get paid.
He need to. Get that man whatever he wants. But he did say, I did read, say he's not going to skip. I mean, it might change with his upcoming, you know, mandatory OTAs and stuff like that. He said
if that man don't get paid, that man don't get paid by eight.
He
said
he's
going to
show up. I've said it too. You know, take his word for it. He said he's gonna show up, but like I said, it's still early in the off season. You know, OTA ain't started yet. So if he hasn't got paid yet, that whole thing could change on the whim. But I kind of agree with you, Mike. Yes, chemistry does work. But like I said, Wade Phillips has dealt with Tlaib before in Denver, and besides the fact that he had beef with Michael Crabtree, Tlaib was, you know, he was all right. He didn't really like cause no trouble in that. So I think with Wade Phillips, now if it was another defensive coordinator, I'd be like, but you know, Wade Phillips, he has, you know, he's been in the game a long time. You know, he's dealt with alpha males before that are, you know, crazy and stuff like that. So I think Phillips will get, once they get into the training camp and they start playing, you know, they start getting the juices flowing, I think that they will, you know, they'll be all right, especially with Phillips leading the defense. So, but on to another note, how about them Cleveland Browns? How about the Browns? Mm. They out there wheeling and dealing, trying to get them five games this season.
Man, they doing Cleveland. Those were two of the dumbest moves I've seen in my life, man. I'm sorry.
Man, come on, man. They went 0-16. They are desperate right now. They trying to win, man. They are trying to win.
No. Dre. No.
Come on,
that's not how you do it, player.
But you gotta think about it though. This free agency was not great. Think about it. Who besides Sherman and these other guys? I'm just saying. The free agency pool was terrible this year, bro. This was terrible in a long time. Like, I mean, I get it.
This was all a panic. They didn't just trade for a quarterback. They trade a quarterback that's not going to get any better, and you trade for what is a third round pick? A quarterback that's not getting any better.
You got to think about it though, man. Look, the Cleveland Browns are like the bad news bears. Okay,
they didn't win any games. I'm sorry, Andrew. No excuse for that. You can't panic. You can't panic. This is a panic move.
They have the first pick in the draft, which I think they're gonna try to trade that too. And they got the fourth pick in the draft. So I mean, yes, you say panic, but come on, man. When you 0-16, that's the time. Dre, you just made my point even more so.
You got the one and the fourth. Why the hell would you trade a third when you got a third for a quarterback that's not getting any better? You might keep him a year, maybe.
Like we discussed earlier, this draft is very talent rich, man. Very talent rich. And think, like I said before,
which makes my point even more, Dre. You're giving away a third pick for a guy that's not getting any better, and you may keep him 1-2 years. That is a silly trade.
Well, we already know that Tyrod Taylor's not going to be there. He's just basically a bridge gap. We already know he's not going to be there. He's going to be a bridge gap because we already know Cleveland's going to get either Rosen, Darnold, or Mayfield. One of those three. We already know this. So to get a guy, it's just like it was when they got RG3. It was just a stopgap for Kaiser, and I don't know who the other quarterback was. It was just a stopgap. We know Tyrod Taylor's not going to be there. He's not the savior.
I think it was Boyer.
So, I mean, yes. And then the fact that Cleveland has like 28, 29 picks in the draft. I mean, give them one. You know what I'm saying? No.
You haven't won a game. You got no business giving no picks away. You ain't won a game. Why the hell are you giving picks away?
Think about it. You really think Cleveland going to make the playoffs? They're not. So what's the harm in giving away a third round pick that probably could either be A, an elite player, or B, a bust? We talked about this plenty of times, me, you, and Phil. The draft is a hit or miss. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a hit or miss. So, I mean, giving away a third pick for a guy that could be a guy to come in and give some experience to the quarterback position until you build up your future franchise player at quarterback, I don't see the issue with it at all. I don't, because we all know Tyrod Taylor's not going to be there for two seasons at the most, especially if you draft a quarterback. Because everybody knows that's what Cleveland's going to do. Either they're going to draft a quarterback or they're going to pick Barkley first, and then they're going to come back, and then they're going to drop down the fourth pick. If they get Barkley, they're going to get either Mayfield, Rosen, or Donald, whatever his name is, Darnold, whatever. The quarterback of the U.S.
Yeah, Sam Donald.
Yeah, we all know this. So Tyrod Taylor is basically a stopgap until they get them better. That's it. That's all that. We all know this.
Okay. I'm looking at this Cleveland trade, these trades. And I keep hearing you say Tyrod is not going to get any better than what he is. Okay. But can we agree that maybe he will be a solid backup until they find their right quarterback? What if they do keep Tyrod? I think that's a solid backup quarterback to fill in. Not to mention, you also got Landry out of a trade. So I see what they're trying to do. I don't think you see – everybody says, oh, they're desperate to win. They're desperate. You haven't won in God knows when. There's no time for desperation. What you need to do is build carefully. So sure. I do like what they've done to get in the right position to be able to try and be competitive. The last few seasons, they weren't trying. Let's just be honest. And if I'm not mistaken, you got Josh Gordon still there, him and Landry.
Come on. Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs, but this is a step in the right direction for me to maybe get, and no disrespect to Tyrod, I think he can be a phenomenal talent. I still have faith that he can go further and he can be better. I still have faith in mm-hmm. that. But right now, with him being at the helm, if they start him instead of the quarterback that I think they're going to draft, they're going to draft the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't sound too bad right there starting off your rebuilding process right now. He's still a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He still has room to improve. And
yeah.
if you look at what he does, he really doesn't turn the ball over that much. So that's a plus. So you got Josh Gordon and you got Landry, you got Tyrod. That doesn't sound too bad right there for a team who just went winless.
Right.
That doesn't sound too bad. Like I said, granted, they're not going to make the playoffs.
No, they're not.
But at least I think they can at least get into the winning column this year.
I give them 3 or 4. I give them 3 or 4 this year. But like I said, I agree with both of you guys. Yes. We know that, you know, Tyrod's still talented, but, you know, Cleveland's looking toward the future. Like, this will probably be their – I think this is, like, their 25th quarterback change they're going to have. I know they're about to write Taylor's name on that jersey they got outside that store with all the Cleveland quarterbacks ever since Ozar retired.
Oh, my God.
And they got every – and the list is getting longer, you know what I'm saying? So, and, you know, they're going to add Tyrod, and then whoever they draft in the draft, they're going to add that name. So, I mean – it was a good move to bring somebody in that, like you said, feel he could be either your starter for the time being and then be a solid backup. I agree with that. Because we all know whoever Cleveland drafts.
That's a high third.
That's my
issue. It's not so much Tyrod. You gave up a high third for Tyrod Taylor. That's just ridiculous. Especially when you're in a rebuilding position. That's the only thing I have an issue with. It's not that, you know, you trade for Tyrod, because Tyrod is not going to be the starter for at least – he's going to be there for the next year and a half or so. I could say that, but the fact that you gave up you didn't win any games, okay? You're not in a position to give away any picks, but you gave up a high third-round pick. That's my issue.
I think with Cleveland, I saw their list. Cleveland got like a bunch, especially with the NFL gives out those compensatory picks or whatever. Cleveland got like 15, 20 picks this draft. Like, I know they got two in the first round, 1 and 4. I think they got 3 in the second round, and I think they got, well, besides the third round, if that was the only one. But then they got 4, 5, 6. They got like all these picks. So I'm like, I mean, great, I agree with you.
That fourth pick is going to be gone. That fourth pick is going to be. I don't think they'll keep that pick. I think that pick is going to be gone.
And come draft day, they're going to be willing to deal with come draft day. So I mean, Cleveland, like Phil said, Cleveland's trying to win get in the win column at least. Because when was the last time Cleveland won a game? I mean, what, the season before? Did they win a game the season before? I don't even think so. I don't know.
I don't even remember. They're trying to win.
So, like you said, desperate times call for desperate measures sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So,
but I think trying to win is the wrong approach right now, especially when you go on winning. So I think you should just focus on building the team correctly. I don't think winning should be an issue right now until you get know that you have the proper players in that you want. And then the wins will come when you build the right players. That's my issue.
But you know, the NFL is what have you done for me lately, Lee? You know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. So, just like I said, I'm surprised they kept the coach. They did fire the doofus in the general manager. I don't even know why they got that guy because he was completely clueless on how to manage a football team. I don't even know why they hired that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL is what have you done for me lately? Like I said, this is what it is to me. Everybody's trying to be what New England is now, consistently winning, consistently being in championships, consistently competing for Super Bowls. Everybody's trying to catch up with New England. So everybody's trying to get to that goal. They want to be how the Patriots. Like, I mean, the Patriots haven't had a losing season since I've been in high school.
Yes, because they don't panic. They don't make panic moves like this. This is what I'm talking about. They stick to what they know.
Right, but when you got a quarterback like Tom Brady and a head coach like Bill Belichick calling the shots, you're not gonna lose a lot. You know Bill Belichick, you could be a superstar in his system, and then the next thing you get shipped off to Cleveland like he did that one linebacker. Just shipped them off. He went from being 8-1. He woke up. He went from being 8-1 to 0-8 in 24 hours. Like, Jamie Collins. And you see what he did to Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, right before the Super Bowl. You see what he did to Butler.
At the end of the day, and I always tell people this, when you're talking about New England, you got to understand not a lot of teams, if any, has the personnel that they have. And see, that's another thing. If other teams like the Browns, if these guys had the personnel New England had, I'm pretty sure they would make the right choices. I'm pretty sure they would know when to mash the panic button and when to lay off. But see, you don't have that. So basically what you're doing
right now. You mean the front office personnel. You mean the front office personnel.
Exactly. And being
right.
You don't have that. You gotta realize that since they don't have that, that's what it looks like to people. It's like they're going to panic. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Oh, they're desperate. As I just said before, it's no need to be desperate when you're the Cleveland Browns because at the end of the day, you have not had a winning season since God knows when.
Right, exactly.
So
what do they have to lose? Nothing.
You can't be trading for Tyrod Taylor, man, for a third-round pick.
Now, granted, I don't think third round should have been the way to go, but at the end of the day, I can commend that they're trying to go in the right direction. The last few seasons, I don't feel like they've made that step to try and go in the right direction. Now, they're trying. They're saying, hey, well, mm-hmm. we're going to get this, we're going to get that. They're at least trying. Mm-hmm. Now,
mm-hmm.
we're going to talk about the third round pick that they gave up. Was it worth for Tyrod? Absolutely not.
That's my whole point.
I gotta admit, absolutely not. But do I like the fact that they did trade for him? I think that's a phenomenal pickup for them.
Yeah, great player. I love him. He does not make mistakes like you said. He don't make mistakes like
right.
you said.
So the issue is not the fact that he got traded. It's the fact that what they gave
right.
him to get him.
Right.
Is that what
because they're
right. asleep. Okay.
They are
okay.
asleep.
All right.
So I get where you're coming from with that, but like I said, this is a guy that has a low turnover ratio. That's perfect for a team that's trying to rebuild and trying to get to where they need to be. That's perfect when you get a guy like that. Hell, even if you go out and get Alex Smith, that's a great thing. Somebody who does not turn the ball over. That's all I can mm-hmm. expect right now from the Browns. Do not turn the ball over. Give yourself
right.
a chance. Give yourself
mm-hmm.
a chance. Don't beat yourself.
Absolutely.
Because you're already going to get beat by the other team. So don't beat yourself.
Right.
Let them beat you. So at the end of the day, I think, like I said, third round is a little too high. It was definitely too high, but it's a step in the right direction for that team. And I love the trade that they got. I love the pieces that they did get. But as I said, this is a team that's trying to rebuild, and I can't blame them for trying. That's all I wanted to see from Cleveland. Try.
Please do, because I'm tired of – I know they're tired of being the running joke of the NFL right now. You know, they haven't been good since they came back in 99, and it's just been terrible, like terrible. So I agree. I can understand where y'all coming from, that the pick was too high. But at the same time, I can agree with what Phil was saying, that they're trying at least to get in the winning column at least once this season. Like, that's – I mean, I can understand this. So, I mean, like I said, y'all brought up great points. You know, this is why we get on here, we debate. We don't always agree with everything, and it's not supposed to be that way. So, you know what I'm saying? I appreciate that. So, but now, let's talk about something else. We'll talk about Kirk Cousins. I don't know if y'all read about what the Vikings are offering him. I don't know. You know, I look at the number they were going to give him guaranteed, $91 million guaranteed for 3 years. I said to myself, that's a little bit of a reach for a quarterback. I mean, granted, he's decent. But if you're going to pay that guy that much money, it's like the Vikings put too much stock into this guy to offer him that much.
Let me throw a few stats at you, and you tell me, is he worth that much? Now, last year, the guy threw for around 4,000 yards. He had 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and his rating was 93.9. Is that someone that you give that contract to?
Well, me, would I give it to him personally? Well, I don't. Not 91 million guaranteed. I mean, I'm probably backloaded or something. But 91. That means he's guaranteed. So if he sucks this upcoming season or the season after that, no matter what you do to him, you're giving him 91 million guaranteed. Not no backlog. Not no backlog. 91 million guaranteed. Like. He's going to be making like $27.5 million, according to ESPN, what I saw on ESPN. He's going to be making $27 a year. So you know what that means. It's going to push Matt Ryan probably somewhere between 30 and 34 a year.
Oh, my God.
It's going to create a ripple effect. To me, Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback, but I have watched him a couple times in his games. And what he does struggle with throwing interceptions in the red zone. So that's my thing. That's my thing. Yes, he put up great numbers, but you know, you can't, as a quarterback, like me and Mike, you know, we had this same conversation when Matt Ryan did it, and we scream at the TV when he does it. You can't be a quarterback throwing passes in the red zone. So if he could clean that up, then I wouldn't see no problem with it, because you know the Vikings got one of those teams they love to run the ball. Dalvin Cook's coming back from his injury. They already have a great defense. You know, they got Stephon Diggs and Thielen, the receiver Thielen, and they got a good tight end. So maybe Kirk Cousins is that piece to get him over the hump. So, I mean, we'll see, you know. So
I'm going to make a bold, bold, bold prediction. If Kirk Cousins goes to Minnesota will be back. Minnesota will probably be in the Super Bowl. I think.
Wow.
He is that good. I think he's that good to get them there. I think he's good enough for that. This team isn't off. We're talking about Minnesota. They're not off by much. I think they're just missing a good, solid quarterback. Kirk Cousins is not elite. He's not elite. But neither was Nick Foles. He is not elite. So the way I see it is, I think a good, solid quarterback, someone who we know can throw the ball. Yes, he has his mistakes, but I think this is a better offense that he's going to also. Let's not forget that. If he goes to So this is a whole different.
Oh, yeah.
This is the whole.
You have to factor in the offensive coordinator. I think Minnesota's offensive coordinator went to the Giants. I believe it was the Giants. But same offensive coordinator, Pat Shermer is not there also.
He
so you have to factor that in also. So I'm not sure if it's a good move, especially if they, you know, he's dealing with a new offensive coordinator. So you got to factor that in. Offensive coordinator, Dre, and we know it again. When you go from different offensive coordinators, they could either go up or down. We've seen Matt Ryan have, you know, MVP season in 2012 and 2016. He's had those type of years. With different offensive coordinators, you know, completely bombed in the next couple of years. So we don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to be. He could turn to the, you know, Kirk Cousins before he started, you know, coming up.
Yes. Sarkeesian was drinking too much yak, though. So that's why. But we're not going to talk about that. Go ahead, Phil.
I'm going to say this, though. At some point in time, we got to stop blaming the offensive coordinator for everything.
Absolutely.
So, I think he's a good enough player to lead this team to a Super Bowl appearance. I think he can do that. Now, whether he is worth all this money is yet to be seen. So, right now, if they're willing to wheel and deal and take a chance on this guy, which I think taking a chance on him is not a bad thing. I don't think he hurts. I don't think he hurts your team coming there. I don't think he hurts this team. I don't think he hurts this team not one bit. I think he actually helped this team. The way their defense is, and him playing, him being the quarterback, if he goes, I think this team can possibly be in the Super Bowl. I think they can go to the Super Bowl. Look at it on paper, this team could go to the Super Bowl.
Philadelphia? You take them over Philadelphia?
I picked the Rams.
Even with coming back?
I picked the Rams over Philly this year.
Oh, wow. All right.
I picked the Rams over Philly. I don't think Philadelphia can play to the Super Bowl this year. Let me tell you something. Getting back-to-back Super Bowls, that's a hard enough feat already.
It's tough.
You saw what it did to New England. That's a hard enough feat already by itself, getting to a Super Bowl. But going back-to-back, come on. I understand Wills is coming back, but you don't know what shape and form he's going to be in coming back. You don't know if he's going to lose some of his explosiveness. So at the end of the day, maybe he just becomes that old traditional quarterback, just throws. Maybe he's not as mobile as he once was coming back. We don't know. These are things that we've yet to see. But I think this team with Kirk Cousins can get to the Super Bowl. If Kirk Cousins can clean it up and take care of that ball, I think this is a better offensive team that he's going to. And now you have a defense that can actually get people off the field and give you multiple possessions. That's another thing Kirk Cousins really hasn't had, is a chance for multiple possessions, because your defense can't get anyone off the field. So that's another thing. So I would love to see him with Minnesota. Is he worth that much money? I don't know. I can't quite say, but those stats that I gave you, those aren't all that bad. The interceptions are terrible. I'll give you that. But those stats aren't all that bad. 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns. You don't think you can use that, a guy like that on your team? You don't think you can use that for a team that's trying to get there, trying to get over that hump? A guy who can throw, a guy who can make smart decisions? Hey, I'm not willing to say I would put all my money into him, but I think him right now could be a great fit for Minnesota.
Right. So that means now if
Arizona,
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, Arizona's another team, because, you know, Carson Palmer retired, but right now, from what I'm reading, Minnesota is the front runner. You got Arizona, you got Denver, unless they draft quarterback in the draft, you know. So, yeah. So, I mean, is he worth $91 million? I wouldn't think he's worth $91 million, but like you said, Phil, you pointed out some great stats. But like I said before, and I'll say it again, he has to clean up the red zone interceptions, because those are drive killers. Those are points off the board. You know what I'm saying?
They are.
That's something I don't think
you
can do.
Those are drive killers. So like I said, because I've seen it with the Falcons, you know. I mean, even though most of the times those interceptions are not Ryan's fault. They took away the moment, especially it takes away the momentum. When your team has momentum and you're driving and you get turned over in the red zone, that is terrible. That's a killer.
That's what Kirk Cousins is, and that's why I don't think. I mean, if you want to take that, I think Minnesota really has to think hard on this. It's because they have a pretty good defense. And if they give him that amount of money and he returns to the Cousins that we all know, because he's got his money, he's not worried about anything. He got guaranteed money now, so he's not worried about anything. He's going to get paid. And he returns to himself, the guy who was throwing picks, who couldn't get paid, couldn't you know, win a starting job with all these other guys before him. So I'm not sure if that – I don't know if I would trust a Kirk Cousins with that amount of money, just me personally, because I've seen what Robert Alford did to him.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. So, but my thing is, like I said, the quarterback market, the quarterback, that's why I'm glad the Falcons don't have this issue. And you know, when Matt Ryan retires, you know, it's going to be a whole different, you know, people are going to regret, you know, throwing dirt on him and stuff like that. Because I said, he's been our most consistent quarterback for years. So, consider the fact that a lot of these teams are desperate to get a quarterback, you're going to overpay for quarterbacks. So, you know, if they're going to give Kirk Cousins $91 million and he balls out, then good for them. But if he doesn't, like you said, it's going to create tension in the, you know, on the team. And considering another caveat that we didn't talk about, it's going to push out, you know, with him, if he does go to Minnesota, that pretty much means that Teddy Bridgewater is all but gone. So, I mean, I would love to see him go somewhere, maybe Arizona, maybe Denver if he gets released. So, I mean – like I said, that's it's part of the business if you know if you release him. So
I look at Teddy Bridgewater, and sometimes I look at him and I'm like, oh, he's gonna be great. And other times
the injury messed him up.
I'm like, oh, looks like
right
another guy. Yeah, another guy that's just not gonna find his way and. He's not going to be able to produce and put those numbers that you would like for him to put up. And then, like I said, other times he looks doggone great. Now, at this point, right now, for me, he's a solid backup. I don't think he's a starter. He's a solid backup.
Right.
He's a solid backup.
But we got less than 2 minutes, fellas. So, any parting shots before we leave? I know we've been talking about football because, you know, there's always something popping off. So, any parting shots before we leave?
It's not about football so much. I'm just going to say this. Shout out to Mr. Silver for thinking about changing the playoff format in the NBA. Shout out to you.
Please.
Oh, Lord, really?
We definitely got to talk about that next week. Yes, we definitely got to talk about that next week because we know one person is not happy about that. But that's a whole nother. That's going to be a whole nother.
Hell
person.
No.
But Might know who I'm talking about, too.
Hell no.
But we'll talk about that next week. That's going to be – that. I wanted to talk about that, but we had so much going on in the NFL. But we will definitely talk about that next Sunday. So, but, yeah, Mike, you got any words before we get off the air?
Look, I'll say this, and we can finish next Sunday. But that shit ain't happening. LeBron ain't – LeBron is the king. He runs the NBA. That shit ain't happening. If he ain't happy, the NBA ain't going to. It's not happening. We know he runs the NBA. He's the Michael Jordan of the NBA right now.
Make it happen, Adam. Make it happen. Give us an all Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals.
Yeah, that's absolutely foolish.
That would be so dope. We got to get off the air. But I wouldn't mind seeing, before we go, I wouldn't mind seeing the Rockets and the Warriors in the NBA Finals. That would be crazy. But we got to go, fellas. I know we'll talk about that next Sunday. That'll be something we can bring up next Sunday. We'll talk about that. So until next week, man, I'll see y'all next Sunday, man.
All right.
All right. It's been my pleasure, man.
All right.